girl. Love the mess, I watch the swirl of smoke from candles burning. While Mary looked up yearning, I got confirmed and I confessed. I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo.
And welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. This is WOZO 103.9 LPFM live here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I have on the phone with us with Wombat. Say hello, Wombat.
Wombat! What's up?
Welcome, Wombat.
It seems to me this
is starting the next song. This is a live atheist call-in radio show, and we'll be talking about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. Conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And despite what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs, and you'll hear some of them right here on this program and generally on the station as they are in rotation. I'll also be talking about atheist and rationalist groups that exist here in Knoxville and how you can connect with them. And did you know that in addition to this radio show, there's an atheist call-in television show? Did you know that, Wombat?
Atheist call-in television show?
Yeah.
Are you lying to me? I can't take it, so I need to sit down.
I would not do that. And it's been broadcasting for almost 7 years. It's called Free Thought Forum. It comes on every Tuesday at 6 o'clock on Channel 12 Comcast TV, and also streaming live on ctvknox.org. We'll talk about it a little bit later on in a little more detail. Today's, every day's call-in number is 865-333-5937. That's 333-5937 in Knoxville, Tennessee. And today's topic is religion really today's magic or black magic or witchcraft? What do you think about that, Ty?
I think it's an interesting topic. Love this topic. What are you saying? Are you saying then that we used to have black magic back in the day, but now we have black magic today, but it's really just religion? What are you talking about?
What I'm saying is, that when you think about religion, you think about praying to God, asking for things, you know, trying to figure out what the supernatural being has in store for you, what you need to do to appease him, which basically is magical thinking. For instance, prayer uses ritualized words to beseech a supernatural being, a being in another realm, to come into this realm and do your bidding for you, which is basically witchcraft. What got me on this topic, I've been thinking this for a long time, but what got me on this topic today was I was reading Trevor Noah's book, he just came out with. Trevor Noah, of course, is the host of the Daily Show, took over for, what's his name? Can you remember?
John Stewart,
thank you. Mr. Daly, as they always try to refer to him. And anyway, in his book, he mentioned this passage I'd like to read. South Africa is a mix of the old and the new, the ancient and the modern. South African Christianity is a perfect example of this. We adopted the religion of our colonizers, but most people held on to the old ancestral ways, too, just in case. In South Africa, faith in the Holy Trinity exists quite comfortably alongside belief in witchcraft, in casting spells, putting curses on one's enemies. I come from a country where people are more likely to visit the shaman, the traditional healers, pejoratively known as witch doctors, than they are to visit doctors of Western medicine. I come from a country where people have been arrested and tried for witchcraft in a court of law. I'm not talking about the 1700s. I'm talking about 5 years ago. I remember a man being on trial for striking another person with lightning. That happens a lot in the homelands. There are no tall buildings, few tall trees, and nothing between you and the sky, so people get hit by lightning all the time. And when someone gets killed by lightning, everyone knows it's because somebody used Mother Nature to take out a hit. So if you had a beef with the guy who got killed, someone would accuse you of murder, and the police will come knocking. Mr. Noah, you've been accused of murder. You used witchcraft to kill David so-and-so by causing him to be struck by lightning. What's the evidence? The evidence is that David, whatever, was struck by lightning. It isn't even raining. And you go to trial. The court proceeds in order. The court is presided by a judge. There is a docket. There is a prosecutor. Your defense attorney has to prove lack of motive and go through the crime scene forensics, present a staunch defense. And your attorney's argument cannot be, witchcraft isn't real. No, 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 no. You'll lose. And this used to be the case in American Christianity back during the days of the Puritans. We actually had witchcraft trials here in America back during the 1700s. And do you know what put an end to it?
So that's actually really funny that you said that. I want to hear your answer because I have some news for you. It hasn't ended yet.
What?
Go for it.
Okay.
It hasn't ended yet.
I see. Well, you cannot use supernatural evidence or testimony in a church of law in America today because Governor Phipps of Massachusetts finally made the decision that spectral evidence, and that's in quotes, that's the word he used, cannot be used in court of law. And that means basically coming into the court saying, I saw my neighbor dancing in the moonlight, which means she's a witch, you know, and she was dancing with the devil, you know, and that kind of thing. And it turns out people were just being accused left and right. They were being arrested, their possessions taken away from them, them thrown in dungeons, whether they were killed or not. And he put an end to it. And since then, thank goodness, that's been a thing of the past.
So, speaking of things that were happy are in the past, but aren't actually in the past. My grandma on my mother's side, it's really funny that you said like that issue in Africa, where they basically combined their religion with what the colonists' religion was. So that's more or less the story of Christianity throughout the ages, just before I get into this explanation about my personal history.
Uh-huh.
But like, for the most part, Christianity comes to an area, they say, hey, what gods do you guys have around right now? They'll say, hey, we worship this fig tree, we have to do it every winter. And Christians say that, okay, that's cool. We'll just have that as part of our religion. Now we have Christmas with trees and stars on the top. And it goes on. Like every icon in particular Judeo-Christian dogma comes from either some sort of pagan belief or maybe some Roman belief just adopted into a more, you know, Judeo-Christian light. But what's cool is you don't have to go to the 1700s and witchcraft to find examples of witchcraft in history. You could have just come and talked to me, Doubter Five. Because
really?
My own grandma comes from St. Thomas. Mm-hmm. And St. Thomas is one of the Virgin Islands here in the U.S. It wasn't originally, but I would say maybe around from the 1700s to the 1800s, it was largely dominated by sugarcane fields where slaves were brought into those islands and then basically held there to field or tend to the crops. And my mom's family comes from that generation, or those generations of slaves, more or less. They had their own culture there. They have their own language. It's Creole. And it's infused with concepts of voodoo. I remember walking, and even though my mom, so at the time, even though my mom doesn't adhere to that form of Christianity, where it's like a mixture between voodoo and Christian thoughts, my grandma very much did so. And I can remember clearly, my mom was influenced by my grandma's beliefs. And even though my mom was very much what we would consider an American Christian, I remember clearly going through, like, the living room and walking over my sister's legs.
Uh-huh.
And my mom would say, hey, walk back over your sister's legs or else she won't grow anymore. Like, she'll literally stop growing.
Yeah.
And when I wanted to know why that was the case, she told me about Mukujumbis. And Mukujumbis are, like, the demons in the St. Thomas folklore, where they're like basically these demons where if you do certain actions, they will come and seek vengeance on you. And the only two ways that you can afford yourself and you like mercy is by asking for forgiveness through your ancestors or through Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And one of those two would be able to save you.
Yeah.
And I remember going through that my whole history. Like, I can give you so many different examples of just random things we always have to do in the house. We have to roll up towels and put them at the foot of our door to keep spirits from coming in.
Yeah.
Especially if someone knocked on the door and you looked at the door and you didn't see anybody, you'd have to put a towel at the bottom of the door. That's just stuff we did as normal, as what we thought was normal. But
yeah.
We didn't really think it was witchcraft or black magic at the time. It was just part of how we were growing
right.
up, and
right.
so we just stopped doing it.
Well, the people
so
who believe in witchcraft and believe in demons and juju and all that stuff think that it's part of the natural world. I mean, they don't
sure.
think of it as magic per se. They think of them as invisible beings that just happen to inhabit the same plane as we do. Of course, when you challenge them on it, there's no way that they can actually produce any kind of evidence for it. But they don't need to because they've believed it all their life. I mean, that's good enough for them. It was good enough for their parents, good enough for them, that type of thing. And it's not just like superstition, like you and I would walk under a ladder and then walk back through it, you know, just because of it's bad superstition or breaking a mirror. I mean, they believed in entities who had reasons to come after you if you did things, which is...
Yeah.
Weird. I mean, weird and strange and horrifying. And even the Catholic Church has brought that type of thing or kept it alive over all these years in the form of exorcisms. I mean, they're still training exorcists to this
day.
Oh,
yeah. I forgot all about that. That's a thing that's still going on even now.
Right.
I saw a documentary on professional exorcists who go home to home and go through these things where they pull out, like, dead fish parts out of people's bodies, but it's really just like a trick, a sleight of hand thing they're doing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So maybe that's like, it's literal magic trick they're doing, but the people believe it, and maybe they are aware of the trick or not, but
yeah.
either way, it's still something that people are employed to do.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about psychic surgery, aren't you, on that?
Yes, yeah exactly, that's
yeah.
what I'm talking
yeah.
about.
But, what is it? Exorcism doesn't really imply that they have to have some props. You know, all they have to do is just lay their hands on you and say you're possessed by a demon, and they have to take your
wow.
word for it. And then, you know, people have been killed during exorcisms. I've known of stories where people
how
because.
Yeah.
Putting your hands on them sometimes does not cure them. Of course, it can't cure them if they have schizophrenia or something like that. And they try to put their hands on them. If that doesn't work, they lay them on the ground and they lay on them. They wrap them in blankets and they lay on them. One thing after another, and it suffocates the person. They have lost.
Oh,
Google search it.
I had no idea that was even a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
In one particular instance, they laid a speaker on the person after wrapping them on and they couldn't get rid of the demons per se. They took a speaker and laid it on it, and that suffocated the person. Couldn't breathe.
That's a warning to our audience. Never go for a discount exorcist. Always kind of, like, splurge a little bit. I mean, you're trying to get a demon out of grandpa.
Yeah.
Put in a couple of extra $20.
Yeah.
Don't just get some guy upset.
Well, one of the things, if I'm a listener out there right now and you're listening to this and you are thinking about hiring an exorcist, ask them point blank up front if they can do it without laying hands on you. If they can't, then beware, because they might do all kinds of things to you. However, if they say they can do it without putting their hands on you, at least that part will be safe and you can continue. But I wouldn't, but at the same time, if you've got a firm belief, just make sure that you don't give them carte blanche to put their hands on you and touch you and do things like that. Just common sense, really.
So why go through the trouble of having... Where does this stem from? Where does the black magic idea stem from? Why are we applying agents to things like, hey, there's something wrong with you? Instead of just having something being wrong with you, it has to be like some third party that's affecting you. What does that need for an agency come from?
Well, it goes all the way back. We talked about this a long time ago. It goes back to our days in the jungle and on the savanna. If you're out there pre-civilization, and this is, we're talking hundreds of thousands of years ago, or at least 100,000. You're out there in the savanna and you hear...
Well, the world's only 6,000 years old, so it's fine.
Nah, right. Anyway, you're out there in the jungle of savanna and you hear something in the bushes. Now, one, it could be the wind, or two,
okay.
it could be an animal, a predator. Now, if you do, if you think that it's the wind and you just blow it off, well, you've done, well, I think it was Category 1 error. It may be a predator and you're lunch. You know, you're dead.
Sure, and most people are dead.
If it is a predator, and you think it's, I mean, if it is the wind and you think it's a predator, you're going to run away and live. If it's a predator, sure, and you run away, and you think it's a predator and you run away, you're going to live too. So what we do, we got like two out of three options here that benefit us if we think there's a cause where there's not. In other words, we think about it as an agency. An agency has a will. Like a lion would have a will to eat you. The wind would not be an agent because it doesn't have a wind. It's just, you know, it's just a product of nature. It just blows through the grass and makes noise. But an agent, you know, with an agency has a will, and it could come after you. And if we think that something has a will and it doesn't, then it's Category 2, and we can live. So it has benefited us down through the ages. But nowadays, it doesn't. I mean, when we think that there are demons inhabiting our body, it's not really in our favor to continue down that line of thought anymore.
I love that theory, by the way. I really, really do. I think it's really cool, and I think it seems like it makes a lot of sense. Can I throw an alternative one out?
Sure.
I haven't really set this up, but I'm considering, like, I wonder how different cultures go about this, because I remember growing up watching, say, Disney movies, and I would see talking teacups, talking tea kettles, talking candlesticks, plates, dogs, bears, suns talking to blades of grass, monsters, trash cans, everything has eyeballs and everything's talking, having conversations with each other. And maybe it's more of just like the recent culture that I grew up in compared to how things were back in the age. But I wonder if like people back in like witchcraft days or even before that, 1500s, 1400s, even further back beyond that, were people using inanimate objects and applying like some sort of like characteristic to them so that they could entertain kids who would then grow up and then look at those objects fondly and remember when they were maybe had like some sort of agency that they misconstrued as actually being real.
The American Indians think that trees had spirits and rivers had spirits, and the forest itself
had spirits. The turtle talks to the scorpion.
Sure.
And see the spider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe it stems from just the human condition of, I guess, we see the world in one way. Let's apply that perspective to things that don't even have cognizance to them.
Sure.
And now everything has cognizance. And now we live in a world where we can't trust everything because we can't necessarily trust how we think or our thinking patterns. Because now we think everything has its own thought patterns. But we don't have the tools necessary to differentiate between what actually does have cognizance and what doesn't. We just believe whatever our shaman tells us, whatever our parents tell us. Come into this.
You can go ahead and finish that thought if you like.
Well, I guess I'm saying, like, now we live in a culture where a lot of people are still being taught that, and when they go into a college setting or, like, a school setting where they're, like, told, this is the number three. It has properties. It doesn't have emotions. So when you divide, blah, 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 they want to think about it as a story. They want to feel like, well, multiplication is, like, a plus sign, but stronger, and it wants to do even more stuff. Like, no, you can't think about it like that. You need to be as abstract as possible.
Yeah.
Or abstract critical thought tends to be a difficult thing for a lot of people who grew up in an environment where they never really had to exercise that.
Yeah.
And I think maybe what we're seeing now is that religion kind of caters to the people who don't have the ability to think critically and abstractly very often.
they certainly do. And they benefit when they can keep their audience ignorant, keep them away from sources of information, and keep them in basically an educational bubble. And that brings us to the other part of this. Not only do you have people who look for agency where there isn't agency, but you also have this class of people that it has given rise to, preachers, shaman, imams, who say they know how to communicate with those creatures, with those entities, and tell you what they want and what they don't want. These are the people
where the Ghostbusters fall.
Yeah. Well, these are the people that tell the village that they need to give up their, you know, precious daughter, the newborn or whatever, to take up the mountain and appease the volcano. These are the Pat Robertsons who tell America that if we don't squash the gay movement, that God is going to bring hell and brimstone onto us all, floods, whatever. It's a people, I mean, if you think about the Bible, think of all the stories in the Bible where the person writing the Bible said that God gave the people plagues. Why? Because God was not happy. Who said God was not happy? The guy writing the story, the preacher. The book, it's a book of preacher stories in telling you that, that, you know, what God wants and why he's not happy and why you're being punished. And you know, preachers today are doing the same thing.
Could you say that it's a book of ad hoc rationalizations? By ad hoc, I'm not sure if I'm using the term correctly, but essentially something happens, and then from something happening, you take that story and twist it into the narrative you want to say. So if you're writing a story about how great God is, but then there's a plague, well, then you're like, oh, wow, there's a plague. Okay, well, then God must have wanted that plague to happen. Now it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, like, I'd say there's an awful lot of that in the Bible, but I don't think it's limited to just that. I mean, I don't think that it was beyond the preachers to make up stuff from, you know, out of whole cloth and tell whatever story they want to get people to obey and believe. Go ahead.
Oh, I'll add this in a quick point. It's not just the Bible that has that. It's seen in Old Testament as well, so that would include the Torah. And if you want to look at the Quran, there's a lot of instances where you have a demon. So you have the devil in the Quran, but there's also a subclass of demon called the jinn, J-I-N-N, at least in Romanized spelling.
Yeah.
And what the jinns are responsible for doing are misleading and deceiving people, but more on like a one-to-one basis. So like, the devil is an overall manager of bad stuff, but he has an agency of jinns, or tiny little demons that are meant to confuse people. So whenever you feel like doubtful on the word of like Muhammad, or you feel like you're being told something that's not even true, even if you meet someone who's telling you like who's very, very beautiful and is telling you to like leave your Islamic faith or principles behind, that could be the embodiment of an actual jinn. And you're being tested by Allah.
Right.
So, like, jinns can take the place of many forms, whether they're friends or texts or just feelings that you have in your body. And it's an agency that you can apply to a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's the same scenario.
Who's telling you this, though?
Yeah, so that was
the preachers,
the
imams, the religious leaders, the people who wrote the Quran to begin with. And what does it do? It keeps you in the fold. What does that do? It keeps you tithing and keeps you in the church so that you do not leave, and that your progeny is then part of the church or the mosque when you have kids and raise a family. It's designed to keep you there.
Sure, it's a very similar scenario because the Bible is not written by Jesus Christ. It's written by people who claim to have met Jesus Christ, but even those writings,
well,
aside from like maybe
Testament.
Paul's letters.
Yeah, that's only the New Testament.
Yeah, and then we're talking about the New Testament here, exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But even Paul's letters, like, if you want, so you can believe those are Paul's letters, in fact, but Paul never met Jesus.
Right.
They're in a completely different time period.
Right.
So you have like the original apostles who weren't necessarily written by those particular people specifically. But they are listed as being written by those authors. But if you open up your New International Bible, it will tell you in red text before every chapter that, hey, this book might be titled Matthew, but it's not actually being written by Matthew.
Right.
At least most Bible scholars do not believe that this is Matthew.
We don't know who wrote any of the books in the Bible. Any of the books.
Exactly.
We have no idea who wrote them. They're attributed to certain people.
Sure.
Of course, some of the books will actually say, you can see by my signature here that I actually wrote this. When what would be the first thing a plagiarist would do? You know, they would say,
this document was written by
the original. Sure.
But also to cover the Quran before we get back into black magic real quick. So the Quran is, Muhammad is advocated as not being literate whatsoever, which a Muslim would espouse as credence for the Bible being, or the Quran being written by a holy divination, because Muhammad himself couldn't read or write. So the tellings that are in the Bible that are saying like Muhammad saying XYZ weren't even written by him. They were written by a person who was writing Muhammad's words.
Yeah,
and for the most part, well, I mean, it's not as old as the Bible, but you just don't know who that person was.
Right.
Like, we have this text that says this guy said this, and we all respect this guy, but we don't know if there's a one-to-one correlation even there, because the guy himself couldn't read and write. So clearly someone was right, and it's told that in the book. So it's clearly, there's an issue of a disconnect between who wrote the actual Quran, and why is everyone believing that it's what Muhammad said, which is what the angel told Muhammad,
sure.
which God told the angel who told Muhammad, who told this guy to write the Quran, that we all take literally as whatever God said. Mm-hmm. It seems like there's a lot of steps missing. Anyway, it's the exact same thing. And I think maybe that lack of clarity leads to black magic becoming more, not black magic, but like these ritualistic things that mm-hmm. make no sense, that have little evidence supporting them, that seem supernatural fundamentally,
yeah.
give them more wiggle room to evade into our culture
well,
as
sure.
a result.
Yeah. As long as you're willing to accept things on just claims without evidence, then you're gonna come up against all kinds of problems. Even if you're talking about things that are natural, like UFOs, aliens, and Loch Ness monsters, and Bigfoot, really, you should withhold judgment until you have evidence. David Hume says your beliefs should be apportioned to the evidence. And if somebody
sure.
makes claims, doesn't give you evidence, withhold belief. It doesn't cost you anything.
So I want to tell you what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
If possible, I'd like to turn the tables, because we've been beating religion up. But I think, for the most part, science has issues where we used to believe in magic, but we fixed them. And we can talk about not only have the place where we went wrong, where we're straying away from, like, the scientific methods,
yeah.
but how science is built to self-correct issues like that. And I'd like to get that on the second half, now that we're at the bottom of the hour.
Sure. Let me go ahead and do that. I'll go to the bottom of the hour, and we'll take a little break, play a song, and come back. This is WOZO 103.9 LPFM, live here in Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. And for our break song, I'm going to play Why Don't Bees Go to Heaven? And we'll be back in about 4 minutes. Here we go.
It seems to me the species Homo sapiens carries the chutzpah gene. To think they are the purpose of the universe when they only just arrived on the scene. What's even worse, they bear a curse of believing they're the only form of life to never die and go on living somewhere high up in the sky.
Somewhere high up in the sky.
So why don't bees go to heaven and trees go to heaven? Amoeba, krill and fleas go to heaven. It's not surprising that they're not arising, 'cause man created God.
This grain of sand upon an infinite beach had been supporting life for trillions of spins. Then along came humans who started assuming that this was where it begins. So profoundly naive, they began to perceive these primates were the only ones to never die and go on living somewhere high up in the sky.
Somewhere high up in the sky.
So why don't worms go to heaven and germs go to heaven? Spiders, snakes and sperms go to heaven. It's quite expected that they're not resurrected, 'cause man created God.
If man created Zeus
and the god of the sun,
if man created Shiva
and the god of Abraham,
from all of life, why should the only one saved be the
species worst behaved?
Well, that's because that same species, Homo sapiens, carries the chutzpah gene. To think they are the purpose of the universe when they only just arrived on the scene. What's even worse, they bear a curse of believing they're the only form of life to never die and go on living somewhere high up in the sky.
Somewhere high up in the sky.
So why don't whales go to heaven? Snails go to heaven? Orangutans and quail go to heaven? They don't think twice about paradise, because man created God. So why don't bees go to heaven and trees go to heaven? Amoeba, krill and fleas go to heaven. It's not surprising that they're not arising, 'cause man created God. So why don't worms go to heaven and germs go to heaven? Spiders, snakes and sperms go to heaven.
It's quite expected that they're not resurrected, cause man created God. So why don't bees go to heaven, and trees go to heaven, amoeba, krill, and fleas go to heaven?
You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
And we're back. I need to talk a little bit about the shows, I'm sorry, the groups, the atheist groups that are here in Knoxville, and how you can connect with them. We talked at the beginning about the TV show. I'll go over that just real quickly. It's called Free Thought Forum. It's an atheist live TV call-in show. You can watch it every Tuesday between 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock on Comcast Channel 12 or Charter 192, or you can watch it streaming online at ctvknox.org. You can find an archive of some of these shows on YouTube, where a fan named Definitist has been posting them. Just go there and look for Free Thought Forum Knoxville. That's three words, as in free thought is one word. Free Thought Forum Knoxville. And if you're interested in getting involved in the show, if you're an atheist or free thinker who would like to get involved in either the TV or the radio show, just come to one of the Ask meetups or RET meetings and talk to us about it. You could be our next TV co-host. The Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK, was founded in 2002, so it's about 15 years old. It will be 15 years this November. It has over 675 members. You can find it online at knoxvilleatheist.org. You can join them at their meetup near Westtown Mall at the West Hills Flats and Taps every Tuesday for happy hour food, drink, and conversation. Everyone is welcome as long as you don't preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Matt Dillahunty. Then there's the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been around for about 20 years. RET has bi-weekly presentations and discussions at the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. They meet the first and third Sundays at the Goins Administration Building Cafeteria Annex. And if that's a little confusing, just follow the signs or go to the website rationalist.org and click on directions. There's also the Sunday Assembly, which started in England a couple of years ago and has spread around the world. We have some Sunday Assembly here in Knoxville. It's a no God church-like setting for those who have had enough of religion but still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. It meets at the International Building only on the fourth Sunday of each month. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, you may remember those kind folks out of Madison, Wisconsin, who fight the church-state separation battles every day. They have a local chapter now. They meet at the Earth Fair, Turkey Creek, from 7 o'clock on to about 9 o'clock every third Wednesday. In other words, the third Wednesday of the month, Earth Fair, Turkey Creek. And there's the Secular Student Alliance. If you're a student, either high school or college, who would like to be involved in the free thought movement or just find secular companionship here in the Bible Belt, look online, do a Google search for Secular Student Alliance. You can also find their pages in Facebook. So go there, check it out, and you can become a member of Secular Student Alliance and find a lot of friends in your area. If you have a community event and would like a public announcement to be made on WOZO Radio, please just create an MP3 to reflect that event. Then contact us via our website, WOZOradio.com, to arrange for it to be played in rotation. And I guess that's about it. We've covered about everything. I guess we can get back to our topic now. Wombat, what would you like to discuss on that next?
So we just spent a half hour beating up religion. I think that's not fair. Everyone's listening to the radio show going like, oh, those atheists, and they think they're so right. They just hate religion, and they think science is, like, perfect and stuff like
sure,
that.
Sure, but
so
they can
for the
call
most
in
part,
and talk to us. They can tell us we're wrong.
But also, that's a bad impression. I'm sure they don't even sound like that. I'm sure they're
sure.
pretty nice guys.
Huh?
But I'd like to have an even-handed show. And to highlight that, I want to show that we have the same issues with magical concepts or unbased things presented in the form of new science. And the cool thing is, science has a way of self-correcting itself that religion doesn't really have. And what I do like to do is highlight some of those examples right now. How about
that? Okay, sure. Go for it.
So, probably a good classic example of this is, once upon a time, science is really just making a model of reality that explains how, you know, you're making a model that explains how reality works, more or less.
Right.
So you make some observations, and then you come to a conclusion, and then you test your conclusions, and then if they're accurate, you do more tests, and you can have more confidence in that observation. So one of the observations that were done a long time ago is, we look up at the stars, and we saw some movement. And we're thinking, hey, we don't feel like we're moving on Earth, like on this planet that we're on, but everything around us is moving up in the stars. Therefore, Earth must be the center of the universe.
Right.
And for a long period of time, Earth being the center of the universe, or I think, I always get these words confused, but I believe it's not heliocentric theory, but...
Yeah, that's right, heliocentric theory.
Really? Yeah. Okay, so it was a heliocentric theory that was very popular at the period of time. And then a guy named Copernicus, right, said, hey, you know, I'm tracking these patterns, and they seem to be going in a manner which would better be explained if Earth wasn't the center of the universe, but was also moving along with all the other stuff in the universe, or in our solar system, if you will, around our sun.
Yeah.
And a lot of people hated that idea because the church loved that the Earth was the center of the universe. And back then, all science expeditions were large, at least the largest ones, were funded by a very large religious organization.
Uh-huh.
And to say that, hey, the Earth is like the center jewel that was explicitly created by God, as proved by the fact that everything rotates around it, it's a very, very compelling narrative. But when Copernicus came around and said, hey, you know, we're not the center of anything, we're just moving around just like everything else, it kind of belittled that idea. And it wasn't as widely accepted. But at
The church stood directly in the path of that type of thinking and would not allow it. Told him he couldn't publish his books.
So now we had a contest between religion and science.
Uh-huh.
And ultimately, we had an observation that we couldn't deny. We had tests that we couldn't just reject because they were consistent and they were reliable.
Right.
And because of that, we had to adopt the new narrative of Earth not being the center of the universe anymore. Science won out. But even though when it was originally presented, that was the start of the scientific method. It was an observation made, and it was a model of reality that people could understand with the information that they had available to them. And then as new information came, it self-corrected, and it became a more accurate model. And even now today, we're learning more about how our universe works, at least on an astronomical level.
Sure.
And it's improving our ideas. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. And it's improving our idea of how our universe works overall. And I think it's a cool thing to see science correct itself even when it's in direct opposition to religious thinking.
Well, yeah. The thing about it is, science does change. Of course, it needs to change if it's got something wrong. Now, just because it got something wrong, like the Earth was at the center versus the sun, doesn't mean that the next model that comes along isn't more accurate. You know, the next one said the sun was at the center of the universe. Of course, it's not. We know now it wasn't. It isn't. However, at the time, it gave us a better understanding of the universe. And now we know that the sun is just another star. And there are billions of stars, billions times billions of stars out there. And we understand even better. You know, science, as it goes along, is self-correcting. Religion generally is not that way. It's given the truth in a book, and anything that agrees with it is wrong. Anything that doesn't agree with it, that does agree with it, is right. And many people just look at it like that. You know, they have the answer. They go out into the universe and look for things that match it and ignore the things that don't. Try to name one thing that religion said was right and science could not, or, I mean, science said was right. I'm trying to get this, and I'm not doing a very good job of it. Religion confirmed rather than science. Science never confirms anything, and even if it gave a opinion about something that was true, we would still need science to confirm it.
Right. It's true, and I also think it's something that we take for granted. Because if you were to take a Christian in 2017 and introduce them to a Christian from the 1600s. They both call themselves Christians, but because of the fact that Christianity has adopted scientific reality in a lot of regards or a lot of findings, they just say, oh, of course that God designed that. Oh, of course that's true. You know, God also planned that as well. Modern medicine, evolution, tectonic plates movements, age of our universe, the sun not being a star. Like, those guys would have a conversation with each other and be significantly at odds with each other because you can kind of tell that there's a photo stamp based on your religion, based on the current understanding of science of that period of time.
Right.
And it's telling that over a period of time, over a period of, let's say, 1,000 years, the religious idea mindset has always adopted what is more or less the most reasonable method that we have to get into truth, and that is science.
When it's honest. When it's
or
honest.
Or scientific method.
I mean, when it's not honest, like in Islam, they just ignore the science altogether. Islam has been pretty much stagnant as far as scientific discoveries, and they have not added to the body of human knowledge, scientific human knowledge, since like the invention of Islam. And before that, they were very active in science. They pretty much gave the names to the stars. They also invented
the numerals.
Yeah,
the
letters that we use, the Arabic alphabet, the Arabic numerals. But since the 600s, when Muhammad came and gave the word of God to Islam, they've stagnated.
And, can I correct that timeline real quick?
Sure.
So we have something called the Islamic Golden Age.
Uh-huh.
They were all Islamic at the time, and I believe that also means that they already adhered to Muhammad being the ultimate final prophet. But due to a change in the philosophies of the imam that they had at the time, they really, really cut back on critical thinking, on intellectual mindsets, and the whole culture, and not just their culture, but really the entire world's, you know, progression in terms of scientific understanding was flatlined, because they were the ultimate, they were on the ultimate pinnacle of, or plateau of, or pinnacle of discovering new things, and because of a very conservative mindset of more or less their religious state, they couldn't progress anymore. And there's a period where we just more or less flatline culturally, at least in the intellectual sense. And then we pick back up when most of the scholarly work moved away from Islam and was started to be taken over in Europe. And then ultimately through the Industrial Revolution, we started having really great advances in science all over the world. But if you were to compare what we could have been if the Islamic Golden Age continued, we would be so much more progressive than we would be at this point.
Right.
It's a wild statement to say, but it's just to illustrate the impact of one society getting incredibly anti-intellectual over the course of, say, 300 years.
And
it's stagnated our development.
Right. We don't want to throw it all on Islam either. If you're a Christian out there and you're feeling kind of smug right now, the Dark Ages lasted 1,000 years. And much of that was because of church rule and church religious thought. Three to 350 years of that was an Inquisition period, where that if you didn't believe, they would haul you into a dungeon and torture you until you did believe, and take away your possessions as well. On, you know, when your neighbor says that you're a witch or you just don't believe. So this, imagine where all of our societies would be without the supernatural thinking going along all along. Because the only point I was making.
True. No, it's absolutely true, and I agree with you 100%. I also think going back towards science, or at least towards, you know, planetary movements, I have a mom right now who's a Jehovah's Witness, and Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that the sun is a star. They believe that the sun is an internal body in space that will supply Earth with the energy that it needs until God says so. And that is essentially for as long as God exists. So the sun's always going to be there. The sun is an apart from all the other stars that we see in the sky.
So what kind of being?
It is an internal entity that will continue to supply Earth.
Yeah, but is it an agency? Does it have agency?
It has no agency. It is just a thing that exists eternally, but is not a star. It is a thing that God created for Earth.
I'd like to know what their term for it is.
Yeah. Hey, why not? Well, don't let me have that conversation with my mom. It's not a 5-minute conversation that we're talking about.
Okay.
But hey, listen, we have internet access. I'll look it up. And if anyone wants to call in and correct me next week, that's totally fine too.
Well, how about number, if you want to call this week, our phone number is 865-333-5937. Happy to talk to you.
We got to get that jingle back. I love that, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
So, here's another thing where science, not necessarily is wrong, but it's in the process of changing. It gets a lot of people confused, almost to the point where it almost sounds like black magic, and that's climate change. Have you heard about this?
No.
So, tell me your impressions of what you've heard about it. So,
about climate change?
You come at this on the subject. Yeah. Like, in terms of, like, it changing a story or, hey, man, you know, like, sometimes it gets hot, sometimes it gets cold, or the climate's always changing, or CO2 is good for you,
yeah,
so the plants need to breathe. Have you heard it?
Well, the one that I hear most often is that we've had ice ages on this Earth, you know, for many millions of years. They come, they go, you know, temperatures go up and go down. Yeah, but we weren't around to throw it out of cycle. That's the problem. We seem to be throwing it out of cycle by warming it up higher than previous natural rhythms have made it. And once it gets to a certain point, it's going to tip. And the reason that it's going to tip is there are many millions of hectares of carbon dioxide frozen under the oceans, under the permafrost, and when those start melting and start releasing all the carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, it's going to be game over. It's going to be like a runaway hot house effect, like happened on Venus.
Right. And hopefully what science can discover on Mars. It would be cool to see if there's an atmosphere that burned away due to CO2.
Well, it turned into corrosive acid. Yeah, do you know that the Russians
I love this story.
Yeah, the Russians sent a probe to Venus back, I guess it was back in the 60s, and they had a camera on it that would show, like, its foot. So that it was focused on its foot, so that when it went through the atmosphere and landed, you could just see the foot eat away, and it would just dissolve. I mean, the whole thing, it's like hotter than the inside of an oven, and the atmosphere is like sulfuric acid, because of the runaway hot house effect of the CO2 in the atmosphere. But anyway, study it, Google it. Don't trust me.
I don't want to see those pictures.
Yeah.
But how about this? So the narrative of science probably could have been a PR issue, or could have been, how do you explain information to laymen so that they aren't necessarily twisted by people who have other agendas? And for the most part, the original story is like, hey, we have a climate that changes over a period of time. And the thing is, we have an impact on that climate change.
Right.
We can increase its rate, and we can adjust the behavior to reduce that effect. Because if we don't put a cap on our behavior, we are going to ultimately change the climate so quickly that we as a species won't be able to adapt fast enough. And it's going to lead to an environment where humans can no longer persist.
Right.
Maybe other animals will. It's not the end of the world. But we won't be here to know the difference.
Yeah.
And
well, the thing about it is, addressing this situation will be expensive and hard. People don't want to pay the money and taxes. The corporations don't want to limit themselves. They don't want regulations to help to enforce a better, more responsible attitude toward the earth. People just don't want to do it. It's self-interest, and that's, I think, is what's going to doom us all. It's just our monetary and psychological self-interest, and that's going to be the end of the human race. But what can you do?
So
that's the way the human race is built.
Well, here's the thing. And it's actually kind of like a two-part thing. It's kind of cool. So the international consensus is that, well, if Americans are telling us this and we're like a country that's trying to develop ourselves, they're only telling us that so that we can slow down, so that they can stay on top.
Right.
And that's just their self-interest trying to interfere with our self-interest.
Yeah.
So, you know, They can tell us that, but we're going to continue to pump our oil. We're going to continue to use whatever resources we have because we're trying to get to that level too. We have people starting to.
And it's even much more basic than that. You talk about losing the world's forests and the tropical forests and rainforests. It isn't so much the corporations going in there and raping the land as you would be taught to believe. A lot of it is just simple farmers trying to expand their land. Not only that, but let's say that you were born to a simple farmer in like South Africa, South America. You live on the edge of the rainforest. Your parents have land, but you don't. You're thinking about getting married. You got to have some land to work. Everybody else owns the land. You're going to cut down some trees into the forest and try to build your own farm. It's as simple as that, and as complicated as international commerce. But it's all conspiring to go to the same place, which is a real problem.
So that simple farmer telling him not to cut down the tree in the rainforest would be the equivalent of me telling you, hey, don't drive on the road. It makes the sky more blue.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, what are you even talking about? Why would I even care if the sky's more blue? I need the roads to do my job. I need the roads to live.
Yeah.
Like, period. Don't talk to me. They may not have the scope necessary to, like, understand what's going on. And even if they did, they may not have the care. They may not care enough to actually change it. Because they may have other things on the line. And every story is like that on a small scale. But internationally, there's that as well. But the cool thing is, internationally, science agrees with each other in that this is a problem that needs to be resolved.
Uh-huh.
So scientists from India, scientists from Russia, scientists from Korea, scientists from America, China, they have all come to an astounding conclusion on one point that humans can affect climate change and that politicians need to recognize it and that it is an issue that can be exacerbated if you just not listen to quickly or adhere to quickly or a plan isn't made immediately.
Right.
I think we recently had a G20 summit last year, maybe a year and a half ago, where we had the nations from 20 different areas, all of which don't necessarily get along with each other politically. We had Iran there. We had, Sweden gets along with everyone. We had Brazil. Brazil gets along with everyone. America, China as well. We had all the superpowers there as well. And they all, in unison, came to an agreement that climate change is an ordeal that needs to be resolved, not necessarily resolved, but addressed immediately.
Right.
Because we can't continue to go in this spin cycle on news cycles where people don't really understand that it's an actual problem or not.
Right.
And it's one of the things where you have religion, or maybe not necessarily religion, but just like an unfounded dogmatic view that the universe is made for human beings. And it will not go away until God says so.
Yeah.
And then you have science, which is saying, hey, this universe is this world is a fragile balance, and we are affecting that balance, and we need to course correct in order to fix that.
Yeah, there's a T-shirt I've seen on the web a lot lately. It says, there is no planet B. And when we screw up this one, that's it. We cannot go to another planet. Maybe we should have started terraforming as soon as we got into space, but we did not. And it's 2017 now, and it's too late to start before our climate could spin out of control. We just need to address it. We need to address these problems that we're facing. And if we don't, we'll pay the price.
Mm-hmm. It's a true thing. It's not necessarily – so just to conclude, you know, it's not a nihilistic statement. It's not something that we should feel bad and dread about. Really what it is we should be thankful that science has given us an opportunity to address issues that not necessarily good things to ignore, but things that we have the time to fix. And it's not something that's completely without hope in terms of resolving. Science has given us the opportunity to figure out what the problem is, and now that we know the problem, now we can address it. Now we can address our lives. Now we can be a little bit more considerate. Now we can be a bit more aware of how our carbon footprint is affecting not just ourselves and our local environment, but the entire world.
Sure.
We can be more mindful of the people that we put into office. Do they have an agenda with regard to greener energy fuels? When we have the opportunity to buy consumables, do we put them in packaging, or do we at least make an observation of the kind of packaging that comes to us? Is it green? Is it over-packaged? We can do small things on a small-scale level while we get our bigger cards into place.
We can.
And science,
if we will.
I think, I have hope that we have the opportunity to. I think we've been up against bigger threats before. And one way or another, we are going to figure out something amazing, but we're going to need to rely on people other than just us. It's going to be our future generations. It's going to be their future generations. And the best way forward for them all is kind of what we're doing right now, just having a conversation where we can openly discuss the value of critical thoughts, the value of skepticism, and so people can take that information and hopefully move away from their dogmatic principles and look more towards a scientific, rational mindset that can better inform them on how to improve the world that we live in.
Right, by natural means. We have to get people to realize that going into their closet or their bedroom and getting down on their knees isn't going to make any difference. But they have to actually do something. It's positive action to make a positive difference in the world.
Positive action makes a positive difference.
Yeah, and
we're on a shirt.
Prayer and magical thinking isn't going to do it. Which brings us back to the beginning of the show. You may think that God gave us this earth and we can use it up as we want to because Jesus is going to come back next week. But they've been saying he's going to come back next week for 2,000 years. He's a little overdue. He's not coming. So give reality a chance.
Also, I live in Kentucky, so I've seen that arc. I'm not exactly confident that it's seaworthy. So I think our options are getting a little bit on the shorter side. We should probably start listening. We're opening up some science books and listening to our teachers a bit more.
Yeah. Well, we got about 4 minutes left. Final words.
Positive action. Positive. Say that one more time.
positive thinking for positive action.
Positive thinking for positive
action. Positive action to make positive difference? I don't remember.
I like that. Positive actions to make positive differences. Yeah. Let's go for that. Yeah. That's my final word.
We'll have to go back post show and rewind it and see what I said.
Yeah.
Okay, and my final words, I forgot to say them last week, but is everybody is going to some other religion's hell. So don't sweat it. The time to sweat it is when they prove that hell is real and that souls are real and that they live forever. So don't sweat it. Live a good life, and we'll see you next week.
Be good for goodness sake.
Right. Thank you, Wombat. This is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour, WOZO 103.9 LPFM, and see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.